from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Please welcome the manager, number 30, Craig Council.
I know it's official that I'm a Cub now and I'm talking to Danny Parkins, you know what I mean?
Craig Council.
Nobody is interested in your takes, I promise. I promise.
God, that
I
checks promise. Out.
What are they tuning into right now?
This guy over here, it's the Parkins and Spiegel show. You're a guest, Craig.
Manager for your Chicago Cubs.
He definitely gets frustrated in there, but he's such a tactician, like the way that he is thinking about the game, who to pinch hit, bullpen usage. He's always pacing in the dugout. He's just thinking all the time. You know, having him on the bench for us is more valuable than him losing it and having to watch from his office.
So is he the person who says, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed? Like, what is a disgruntled Craig Council
look
like?
He'll give a couple good yells from the dugout. The hard part about Wrigley is now our dugout's so far away from the umpire. I don't think they can hear him. It's hard to get tossed from the dugout here.
That's a bad take. It's a bad take.
Craig Council with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Today's show on the field is brought to you by Bosch Power Tools, what hard workers deserve. But you might have noticed that we are not on the field because, as it is a perfect sunny day with just like 3 clouds in the sky, apparently it might rain later. So we once again cannot be in person with the manager of the Cubs, Craig Council, who joins us now on The Score. What's up, Craig?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You know what it is, Danny? It's a day we could get sunburn when there's supposed to be rain in the forecast. Now that I realized it. We're grumpy up here. We don't get to be on the field, Craig. It's twice in a row now that the weather gods have done this to us.
Yeah, I know it's a precaution, but it seems like we should have a nice night.
Yeah, it should be. It should be just fine. We just got done talking with Nico about how not every hitter approaches it the same way, and you got to have an individualized hitting approach. And we were asking him, is everyone even asked to have a BHAC or a 2-strike approach? Or when we're trying to talk about these guys, is it like, no, not everybody is capable of doing that, so we don't ask everyone to do that in those situations?
I mean, I think you asked like 4 questions there. But
I have a tendency to do that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, is the like 2-strike approach? Do you want to do something different? I think those are all like great concepts and like the best of the best can like execute all of those things, all of those questions. but hitting is a difficult thing, and you know, not everybody can execute every single one of those tasks. You know, you have to, whenever a hitter's hit with 2 strikes, they give things up, right? Like there's going to be something they give up. They have to cover more of the strike zone. That's what your thought is. I got to cover more of the strike zone. So it, you know, makes you swing more often. And it's, if you're covering more of the strike zone, it's harder to do damage. And that's why guys don't hit as well with 2 strikes.
Yeah. You know, are we being fair if we were to criticize, or if somebody's to criticize a guy like Morel from that moment the other day, and the little thing that happened with you and Jesse? It's like, is it even fair to criticize a guy like Morel when maybe he's just being told to go up there and swing it as hard as he can and try to hit the ball hard every time? And here we are thinking he should show some 2-strike approach. Maybe he's not even being asked to do that. We don't know.
Well, regardless, players are going to strike out. Because that's the pitcher's trying to strike him out. Nico strikes out, right? Like that happens. The pitcher can make really good pitches and regardless of what the swings look like, you know, you're going to miss sometimes.
Yeah, you know, like media can have multiple roles and they can voice things in the wrong situation. Lord knows I've been there. You know, beat writers usually don't have takes. It seemed like it was just a moment of like, you know, a guy speaking in one role when he's there as a beat writer. It can be a weird thing. Is that a fair representation, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
We're watching Cody Bellinger take BP right now. How close is he to returning?
Well, I think we're a couple steps away, but the fact that he's on the field hitting right now is a really good step. And so, you know, from today, you know, today goes well, then we can move to probably a machine and a little more velocity tomorrow. And so, you know, that puts us in a good spot to just keep the training going forward this weekend in Kansas City and, you know, see where we're at kind of end of the weekend.
Any other reinforcements coming soon?
I think Cody would definitely be the guy that's closest to playing.
Okay. So yesterday, you know, Jed made some news when he said that, you know, any buys would not just be for this year, barring anything unforeseen in the next 7 days. It would have to help in 25 into the future. What conversations did you have with him that led to that kind of public proclamation ahead of the deadline?
Well, I mean, I think that's just, you know, I mean, I think he's just kind of basically stating what the playoff odds are and that you have to be smart and kind of the deals that you make. I think what's most important is that, you know, there's a trade deadline coming. That's an opportunity to transact in the industry, to make transactions. It's a time that there will be transactions made. And, you know, it's really just finding opportunities that the deadline creates kind of regardless of, you know, where or when they help you. And we can like say, hey, And then in a 60-game, you know, stretch that we have after the deadline, essentially, you know, you just play the games. And, you know, if we acquire some guys, you know, they got 60 games to help us.
You know, when Jed says that stuff, it's impactful to media like us. It's impactful to fans. Had he or you shared that message with the team before he shared it with the media last night, Craig?
No.
Okay. Do you, as a manager, think about, do you have to follow up on that message with players or help them process it? Like, you know, guys, I think might have got asked for it, asked about it after the game. Is that anything that concerns you? Because it's, again, it's more impactful for media and for fans than it is for players, but do they need to be ready for it, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, one of the tough things about being a player is that regardless of, you know, the players kind of deal with this throughout their careers, basically every day of their career. As a player, you are most players are eligible to be traded at any point, you know, and that's the facts of the life of a Major League Baseball player. So it's really something that's kind of wired into you that you have to deal with. Yeah, I mean, of course people think about it. But there's right now you have a job to do and you just do that job.
I guess what we heard went from Jed's comments was like a concession that 2024, this bunch is not good enough, or this team has not played good enough. He still expressed overall positivity, but do you believe this team still is good enough to rally and be playoff viable at this point?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think, look, the standings indicate that we're not a playoff team right now. And you can't ignore that. But we still have 60, 58 opportunities in front of us to change that. And that's how you approach it. But absolutely, we have not put ourselves in a spot where we can play well enough to put ourselves in a playoff conversation. Absolutely.
But so this is one of those things where we process it differently than you do. So that's why it doesn't matter if you need necessarily even tell the players. Nothing has changed for you guys.
Nothing has changed for us. That's right.
So, you know, when you process, because the deadline is a, it's a big thing in the industry, like you just said, like, what do you think is the biggest reason or reasons why, to this point, you guys have underachieved? Why are we here?
I mean, you know, we're here because we haven't won enough baseball games.
Okay.
That's why we're having these conversations. But I don't mean you can, we're always going to, the baseball has so many results that it leads to like constant evaluation.
Yeah.
You know, we look at it as like, we have opportunity to still get ourselves back into it and judges at the end of the season.
Do you laugh at the media's attempts and our attempts, mine and Danny specifically, to try and deal with some of those results when your job so clearly is to just keep your head down and focus on process. We're the ones left scrambling and asking questions here, Craig.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's kind of what how baseball is built in a season of like it's a story that's told every single day. And that's what makes it very unique in sports. And then there's a result every single day, which makes it unlike other sports. Mm-hmm. And so there's, you know, the roller coaster, I think, for fans, it is more. And that's the fun part about it. It's the tough part about it, but it's also the fun part about it. And so going through it, there's going to be more ups and downs. And you're going to experience all of it during a good season or a bad season. And, you know, I understand that as a fan, and as I guess as a media member, that is part of it. It's a long ride, and it's a ride that goes up and down.
So when we're talking about, you know, your role, as we're talking to Craig Counsell, Parkinson Spiegel on the Score, one thing I've been wondering, like, this has to, new guy, new place, new coaching staff, some guys that you brought in, some guys that were here. How has that dynamic evolved over time, that the staff is some guys that you brought in and some guys that were here before? What role does that play?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like anything else. I think you get more comfortable working with people the longer you've worked with them. And I'd say that is the case of the players as well. So I think, you know, at this point you feel like you really know people and you know how they work and, buttons to push and how to move forward with them and kind of get everybody going in the right direction. I think you get better at that as you go. And I hope we continue to get better at that.
Was talking to your former manager, Bob Brenly, on Sunday, about the unique personality mix of a coaching staff. And it's funny because Danny was listening and he said that I was projecting my feelings onto the interviewee, which I'm prone to do, right, Danny?
Yeah, you were leading the witness.
I was leading the witness, but I know how Brenly feels about it. Like, the need to have like a particular mix on a coaching staff of some guys who are funny, some guys who are angry, and those kind of things. Like, just in a general sense, do you believe that it has to be a very kind of specific blend of personalities with a coaching staff in order to function best with a full team? How do you feel about that blend of personalities?
Yeah, I mean, I think we say that, and I think what Bob says it is like, look, you're looking for coaches that can connect with all types of players, right? And all types of personality types. And so I think, you know, you feel like you cover your bases if you have like all personality types covered. It's challenging to do. And I think, you know, there's also just flat out good coaches, no matter what their personality type is. And then I think that's really what you're going for. But I think, you know, something for everybody, you know, it always helps. And I think that's what Bob's alluding to.
Boy, did he love you. I mean, my God, I asked him a question at the end, like, who is your favorite player? And he said, you, man, on a team with Luis Gonzalez and Matt Williams, he's like, you were his guy because of just a willingness to do absolutely anything that was necessary for the team. What did you learn from him, Craig?
Well, I think, you know, mostly he just put a lot of trust in me, and I always appreciated that for sure. You know, it's you try to like read the room, and from my perspective, and there was like super, there was very talented people in that room. And so, you know, my job was kind of to do that, I always thought. And just kind of do everything that I could do to really help other people be better, if that made, you know, in addition to doing your job, obviously. But that was your, that was my job. And, I thought that's what could best help us win. And sometimes that means doing stuff you don't like to do, but that's your job.
You know, we do try to be fair when we talk about all of this stuff. So when we evaluate players, we try to learn as much as possible. When we evaluate a manager, we've talked about this for years, how valuable are managers? What impact do they have on winning? What do you think is fair when people like us are evaluating guys like you?
Everything is fair. I mean, you can have your opinions. I think everything is fair. And you know, that's how it should be. So I'm not sure how to answer beyond that. You know, I mean, I take responsibility for the wins and losses. Absolutely. That's, you know, I'm the manager and we all do. I mean, I think the players do, everybody takes responsibility for them. That's, you know, that's our, your records, you know, who said it? That's who you are. So
Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are.
Yeah, you have to take responsibility for it.
But we know that's just not true in baseball. That's what's hard, man. Yeah, are you what your record says you are? That they you know, front offices and everybody will point to underlying metrics and BABIP and whatever it is for a team. It's like, I don't know if you guys are what your record says you are. The bullpen's been great since June 1st. What if that timed out better with some specific games? You know what I mean? Like, are you guys what your record says you are?
Yeah, I think we are. I mean, you can't run away from that. I mean, we don't get to change any of that, so we are. it does, but it also, but I think the point of that is it doesn't mean the future is written. We get to write what happens next by how we play. So, you know, what's happened has happened, and we can't change it. So it is who we are. But we do have the future in front of us, and we have games in front of us, and we have opportunities in front of us.
That was philosophical.
It was. Well, it's a philosophical game. You got to be philosophical to make this game make sense, man. It makes you crazy, this game.
Yeah. No, I mean, what's crazy is the results make you crazy because there's so many of them. And you have to just be careful of, you know, from our seats, and I think from the player seats, you have to be careful about riding too much of an emotional wave because it will kind of catch up to you. And that's how I've always processed it. And I think the players do as well. I think the best players do that as well. That you do have to prepare for the next day, no matter what happened that night. Right. And, otherwise you get beat again. And then that's part of it.
You know, I don't know that the Cubs fans would believe that it makes you crazy. Like what is Craig Counsell being crazy about the results of baseball? What does it even look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think you get frustrated. Absolutely, you get frustrated. Whether it has to be shown visibly is, you know, for everybody however they internalize it or however they want to show it off, and that's your own thing.
Yeah, some guys punch dugout walls, but that doesn't work out.
That's not good.
No,
I've never known that to work.
the wall is undefeated.
Some guys kick a box fan. You know, it goes back a long way in this town, and it doesn't work. You know, you do realize that this guy, this Danny Parkins character here, he's
What did I do?
You love football more than baseball because of the craziness that baseball creates. Is that fair? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like,
I need more offense in this game. That's what it is.
Is that what it is?
It's too hard to hit, Craig. I want to make the ball bigger, make the outfield wider.
Okay.
Lower the mound. I got ideas. Are any of those good ones?
No, I mean, I think it is interesting. It's too hard to hit. I think sometimes, you know, it certainly can feel like that. I think last night's game was kind of an interesting. It was a very low scoring game, but like there was some pretty. The walks were. I don't know if the walks are always the most interesting part of the game, but I think there's some defensive plays that were pretty awesome at big moments that make the game fun. So, you know, you gotta. sometimes you got to enjoy those parts of it to be a baseball fan. And I enjoy the good defense. I think that good defensive plays are, you know, often underrated and really not maybe as cool as the home run, but just as big as part of a game.
All right, so to summarize, despite what Jed said, nothing has changed for you guys. Still battling, still believing you are playoff caliber if you guys play well from this point on.
Oh, we have a summary now in our daily in our sessions, huh?
What do you think? We could make an action plan to discuss this as a possibility if we need to.
Sounds very corporate.
just trying to button up here, man. That's all.
All right, man. The wind's blowing out. Go win a baseball game. We'll talk.
I didn't get approval on my summary
because he doesn't like it.
I don't know. You might like it.
See you, Craig. Thanks for
enjoy the night. Let's avoid the rain. All right.
Yeah, thanks, we'll try to stay dry.
Thanks,
see you,
man.
Craig.
You got
Thank
it.
You.
See ya.
That's Craig Counsell from the manager's office as we are in the press box
on
a beautiful sunny day.
I enjoyed that.
Wrigley Field.
I enjoyed the hell out of that.
I don't know.
I did.
I never know who enjoys these anymore.
I do.
I normally, yeah.
That is a fascinating dude in a fascinating game. And he admits to some of the stuff that makes us all crazy about it. And he is relentless in his desire to not be crazy about it. And it is philosophical. It is. So I think it's fascinating.
Well, there's stuff to react to, and we did just watch Cody Bellinger take batting practice here at Wrigley Field, so we can sum up some of what's going on there. We will talk plenty of Bears the rest of the way, including a Bears report from Chris Emma at 5 o'clock. It is Parkins and Spiegel live from Wrigley
Field. We got a summary now. Amazing.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
I am actually doing a radio show with Parkins and Spiegel, and I wasn't particularly good. I mean, not that that's a new thing.
Afternoons on the Score.
All right, so to summarize, despite what Jed said, nothing has changed for you guys. Still battling, still believing you are playoff caliber if you guys play well from this point on.
Oh, we have a summary now in our daily in our sessions, huh?
What do you think? We could make an action plan to discuss this as a possibility if we need to.
Sounds very corporate.
See, that's him, right?
A sarcastic smartass.
Yeah, it's in there. It's like he's effing with us. He should eff with us. That's the way it's supposed to work. So I love when he screws with us like that. I feel like he's on the edge of that often when he's...
I think the whole 20 minutes. I think he lives in that world with... I'm not saying it's you only us, but yes. He does live there.
It's a fascinating thing. Really, to have talked to as many managers as I have, I've never had a partner who knew the manager we're talking about since he was a little kid. Manager we're talking to.
Yeah, it's different.
Whose late brother was best friends with the guy.
Yeah.
I mean.
Childhood best friends.
Best friends with the guy.
Yeah.
So there's all of that. And then there's just like Craig's sort of unique seeming unwillingness to do the thing he agreed to do. It's not that he's unwilling. And, you know, he's not unwilling. He's just, he really wants to be taken seriously.
And I've been assured he doesn't hate it.
No.
Despite how it sometimes sounds.
It doesn't sound like he hates it. I know it sounds like that to the listeners sometimes. It just sounds like he's really being careful and.
You sure about that? You sure about that?
No, Tanny, I'm
Daddy,
not.
Daddy, are
I'm
you no, not sure?
I'm not sure. Every time it ends, I'm like, ooh. I don't know.
I don't think he hates it. I think he might hate us.
I don't. But like, I'm pretty sure he doesn't hate me.
No.
Yeah.
He's messing with me about the summary, my corporate summary at the end of our sessions.
Yeah.
That's right.
But I'm not sure about anything anymore.
Doesn't your therapist end with a summary? Mine does. All right. So your plan for the week. So and that's been useful.
That's a good idea. I should add that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For your therapy?
For my therapy session.
Yeah. How much is counsel going to be there?
honestly,
none, right?
I wish I was at that stage of my life. I was like, hey, I got to talk about my radio show.
Well, it's
no,
all
not
it,
quite there.
It's all integrated. Sometimes it matters.
That's true. That's true. That is very true.
But
no, listen. All right. So you said so.
I thought there was
takeaways.
I thought there was some really. I thought the coaching staff mix. I thought you asked it in an interesting way. We know this is not his mix necessarily. There's a lot of holdovers. Mike Napoli's a holdover. Willie Harris is a holdover. Tommy Hotovy is a major, major holdover.
Yeah.
Dustin Kelly is, I mean, that's your four biggest coaches.
Yeah, I mean, Milwaukee didn't let him bring the vast majority of his guys.
Yeah.
And so he kept a lot of the guys for continuity because so much of the team was similar and because they were sixth in runs last year. And so... But I do think, and, you know, so that I'm not going to say it to Craig because you were in July, but if Jed's not going anywhere and Craig's not going anywhere and this team ends up winning 77 games, we know what's going to happen.
There's going to be massive changes, and there should be massive changes because...
To the coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely. To the coaching staff, and not because of cosmetics, but because, look, he acknowledged what Brenly... You know, you think of Brenly as an old school guy who cares about personality mix more than Craig Counsell, who is, you know, a modern baseball front office guy with a lot of that in him. Okay, but he acknowledged completely what Brenly had said, which is that you need a very specific mix of personalities so you can connect with every kind of player that you have.
Yeah,
and when you don't have that, and when you don't really know the guys, then it limits your options as a button pusher. On the human level, it of course it limits your opportunities there.
Are you seeing what's happening on the field right now?
Seeing what's happening on the field, is that Cody Bellinger taking batting practice?
No. What are they throwing out in right field?
A baseball.
No, they're not. Look again.
Is that a football?
Oh, that's a football.
Okay, yeah.
And then what are they throw right there down in front of Shane, third baseline? They just stopped the two Cubs, but the guy, he's holding it, and he's got his back to us. You see it in his left arm now, cradled.
Another football. Okay, well, I can tell you about that.
It's football season.
Well, no, that's not what...
The Brewers and the Cubs are playing football.
You know why?
Yeah, because it's football season.
No, that's not why.
It's because, okay, well, 23 teams reported to training camp yesterday, but go ahead.
Okay, all right, well, that's good. I'm not saying it's not football season.
All right, I'm just letting you know it's football season. Go ahead.
It's not quite. But it's
well.
It's,
I mean, our team's practicing.
Yes.
Okay. Football season.
I'm very interested in Bears practice.
Thank you. Go
all
on.
Right. But okay, so it's way too early for me to concede that it's football.
So neither of these teams are going anywhere.
Yeah. Where are we?
We're at Wrigley Field.
A baseball field.
Okay.
It's baseball.
But
season.
Why do I see? I don't see basketballs.
No, you don't.
I don't see hockey pucks.
I'll tell you why.
All right. Go ahead.
I'll tell you why, Danny.
Look, they just stole a football.
Yeah.
Right there.
I'll tell you why you see footballs. Because the mechanics of shooting a basketball or a hockey puck have nothing to do with baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The
mechanics, so why aren't they playing golf?
I'll tell you why. Be quiet for a second.
Right, I just see a bunch of footballs.
Well, I'm telling you why. I'm telling you why.
I asked
this to Tom House, who is like one of the kings of modern throwing for pitchers, right?
Man, don't hurt yourself picking up that name that you drafted.
Thanks,
go
buddy.
Ahead.
What name? Tom House.
Tom House.
In the middle of Tom Street. In the middle of Houston Street, actually. Tom House told me that the mechanics of throwing a football are identical to throwing a baseball for in terms of a pitcher's preparation. Because the first time I saw it was Craig Kimbrell, who used to play long toss with a football in the outfield. So I asked Tom House about it. So these people that you see throwing the football, they're working on their baseball skills as a thrower. Because with a football, you are working the same exact muscles and the same methodology. And
but there's a lot of baseballs around, so why not throw a baseball?
Because throwing a football, God, there's an extra level of reasoning here that I don't have. I'd like to BS and talk out of my butt. I really would.
I'm just saying, I see hundreds of baseballs.
I'm going to go ahead and talk out of my butt, and you tell me.
I know you guys are doing a bit, but Speaks, don't you remember Nolan Ryan doing that? I believe he did it for arm strength before. Yeah.
So the baseball feels lighter?
Yeah. Because it's the same musculature and the same form, but then the baseball feels lighter. It's a version of the heavy ball. Remember Aroldis Chapman was one of the first guys we heard about? training with the heavy baseball, you know, and now they all do that. It's very much a driveline thing. So football is an easy way to do that. And it's also, and then here's the concession for you, Danny. It's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun to throw football.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for.
I know.
That's what I was looking
for. But I couldn't just let you get there that cleanly.
Guys are, look, he's throwing a ball to some fans in the bleachers.
Yeah, that's
these guys are having fun. They're running routes.
Yeah, they are.
They're doing toe drags on the dirt.
I saw that, the toe drag right there.
A little celebration. That's not for arm strength.
If that's Bryce Terang, he's got the speed to be like a Wes Welker type of option route, a slot guy, if that's Bryce Terang on the Brewers right there. And if it's not, I'm sure all these guys as athletes have the ability to do that.
Yes, they're excellent athletes.
But, yeah, so back to Nolan Ryan, whose teammate was Tom House. Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome.
Yep.
I don't know why you're thanking me, but all right. So the coaching staff mix is something that is,
that's one takeaway.
That was one takeaway. The four questions I asked about offensive approach, with the Morrell thing, he was like, basically, you know, two strike hitting is hard.
Yeah,
that was basically what he was willing to concede.
Yeah, right. He wouldn't give us what Nico gave us in terms of not everybody can do it, you know? So not everybody is asked about it, asked to do it. Because it's interesting. I remember, this goes back. I think what Nico told us is a really interesting thing, that David Ross emphasized two-strike approach more than Craig Counsell does.
Yeah,
Nico told us that flat out, and that's interesting. So you've got Counsell is much more into letting a guy like Morrell be Morrell, and letting him swing and swing hard and try to hit it hard wherever he happens to hit it. And Ross would have been telling Morrell to shorten up in some of those instances, and that's not what Craig's doing. So yeah, that was interesting. And then the big one is that nothing has changed for them, man. Jed says it, and it changes it for us, but it does not change it for them because there's still time.
Well, there is literally still time. There's not much time before the deadline, which is a huge piece of this thing. I don't think they have much to sell, which changes it. Like, if the best players on their team were guys on expiring contracts, right? Like, this is obviously not reality, but if Neris had been an incredible relief pitcher and Bellinger was having a top 10 MVP season and their record was this, a lot more of the conversation would be about selling, right? The reason why we're not really talking about selling is because they don't have obvious pieces to sell.
And yet we're still talking about it because even non-obvious pieces like Tyone and Nico are interesting. And I got to tell you, you're right, by the way, but the fact that Bellinger is working out and today taking batting practice, and Counsell gave us specifics about that, taking batting practice against a human, and then tomorrow maybe Cody Bellinger will take batting practice against a machine, which is a little faster and would impact the broken finger more, you know, that kind of thing. Cody Bellinger could be a viable trade and sell candidate. It helps them in either direction. If they get hot this week, if they are stuck with him and they want to try, great. If they don't get hot this week, but he gets healthy this week, then maybe he's a more viable trade candidate by the 30th of July at 6 p.m.
Yep, certainly possible. I still will be pretty surprised if they outright sell. You know, he has nothing to say other than that he believes that they are still a playoff team. And these guys, that's the thing, too. They could go on a run after the deadline without buying.
Absolutely could.
You know, it's obviously unlikely, but they're like, hey, this is a team that was built to win.
Dude.
These are professional baseball players who at times have been good. If they all got hot at the same time, they could go on a run after the deadline. Like, the deadline is a transactional period. It is not the end of the season.
Absolutely. And you're making me want to look at some historical comps for teams that did not buy and still went on a run after the deadline. It has happened. It has absolutely happened. And with the state of the wild card, it is certainly possible and plausible for a team to do that. Whether it's this team or not is sort of besides the point as we make the conversation. But then when you come back to this team specifically, again, The bullpen has been dominant since June 1st. It's insane. It's the third best bullpen in the major leagues by ERA since the 1st of June. That is insane to think about. And now with Julian Merriweather back and maybe some others back, now if they subtracted Mark Leiter Jr. here at the deadline, they subtract Tyson Miller here at the deadline, then that'll get more challenging. But it could still end up being a strength. It's just such a weird freaking game. I don't believe one answer that he gave us.
Okay.
When I said, so, Craig, you just referenced it. You are what your record says you are. I don't think that he really believes their record is what they say. They are what their record says they are. I don't think Jed believes that. It's just the reality of the situation. So you have to kind of wrestle with it and deal with the logistics of it. But I think they fully believe that they're better than what their record says they are at this point.
There's not a lot of evidence to support it. They can feel that way. They can believe that. But there's not a lot of evidence to support it. There was more evidence last year to support that belief than there is this year. Right?
Yes.
So there's not... They can believe that all they want, but it would be bordering on delusion to believe that very strongly. So maybe they probably do. That could be hubris, arrogance, an internal metric in their computer system, Ivy, that is telling, you know what I mean?
But yeah.
We've watched all these games. We've seen this offense. Uh-huh. You can blame injuries, I suppose. You can play bad timing that you played terrible offense when you played your big stretch of division games.
And, your bullpen stunk at the same time. If the bullpen was this good when the offense was crap in the bed for 2 months, you know, and you won a few more of those games, then it just doesn't take that much to change the reality of the standings.
The Cubs are taking BP. We'll talk some Bears at 4 o'clock. We got a Bears report at 5 o'clock with Chris Emma. Big potential news about a transformation coming to Chicago sports next on The Score.
In afternoons from Chicago's northern suburbs, 6.1, Danny Parkins. From Emerson College and a huge Red Sox fan, the good vibes provider, 5'10", Matt Spiegel.
Ten. 6 foot and 1/2 inch.
Oh, really?
I mean, last time I checked.
Yeah? That's pretty good.
I'm not old enough to shrink.
No.
Thank you.
You can't be shrinking.
Thank you.
Well, I gotta say, kinda surprised me, the story in the Sun-Times today about the 1901 development project over there around the United Center. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew that Reinsdorf was buying up the parking lots, but so much of the attention had been on his quest for public funding for a new White Sox stadium and then obviously the Bears stadium.
Yes.
It kind of came out of the proverbial left field in terms of a huge redevelopment plan, but you read that article and it's...
No public money.
And $7 billion of investment in the west side of Chicago over 10 years with the prioritization of green space and housing.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, done, in. Awesome. Awesome.
It's an incredible endeavor.
A legacy.
Well,
like, you talk about a Reinsdorf Wirtz like legacy for the west side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
That's a legacy.
Well, what's interesting is that it's thoroughly connected to the United Center. When they got the United Center done and built it.
Oh, hey, I think we're getting Pete Crow Armstrong.
Okay, well, let's put a button in this. I've got a lot of thoughts on this because there's an interesting tie-in for it. But we've been hoping to talk to PCA, been hoping to talk to Pete Crow Armstrong every time we've been out here. We were supposed to be on the field, but the weather gods have said it's supposedly going to rain. So we are above you, Pete. We are up here waving at you from the press box. Hello.
I see you guys. Hello.
Hey, good to see you, man. Saw you the other day recording some stuff for the radiothon we have coming up. So
yes.
Very much appreciate you doing that. But, yeah, can you believe they didn't let us broadcast from the field today because of rain? Look at the sky.
I can believe it. I feel like it's kind of unpredictable. I think what I saw was that it was supposed to rain from like 5 to 7:30.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
So he was looking.
Yeah.
I think you guys did the right thing playing it safe.
Oh, that's no fun. And you know what? We're going to call BS on that because you don't seem to do anything safe. You don't seem to play anything safe in the outfield or otherwise, Pete. Is that fair?
That's fair. That's fair.
How far could you range to get a fly ball? Could you go all the way to the right field line or the left field line if you needed to?
Shoot. With the proper hang time, yeah, absolutely.
That'd be a fun challenge, like for like an all-star game skills competition. Line you up in center field and then just make you run around.
Yeah, maybe. That might be fun for everybody else, but I don't know if that'd be the best use of my all-star break.
No, probably not.
Has anybody in this organization ever asked you to catch the ball higher, or have they all gotten comfortable with the catch around the midsection?
No, there's been one time where counts kind of got on me about a certain height of where I did catch it, and I think it was more so about like the overall effort of the ball, and it was a really poor read on my part, and I didn't really show much urgency and ended up catching the ball below my waist. And I think if we're talking to one of the pitchers, they probably are indifferent because I made the play, but I think it's more so about the professionalism of how you look out there too. But
what, like that scene in Major League, nice catch Hayes, now don't ever bleep and do it again.
Yes.
Did pretty much say it quite like that.
No. Counts has a really good way of getting his point across. So he did it in his own Craig Counsell way.
What can you give us any insight? Like, what's it like being a young player being managed by very serious guy who's seen everything in the game?
Yeah, I mean, serious. I don't know if serious is quite the word for it. I think he's a thinker. I think he's calm. I think he's cerebral, and I think he's a thinker. Because he likes to kind of talk his smack and kind of shoot the, I don't know if I'm allowed to shoot the shit, but.
Sure. Yeah, probably not.
The answer is no, but thanks anyway.
All right, yeah, well, okay. I
We got you.
You're welcome.
Dump him.
Let me go. It's really cool because he, I saw him do it last year with Terang and some of the younger guys they had over there, and I love playing for Counts for a number of reasons, but he's a good teacher. He picks his right moments.
What did you see with Terang? That's interesting because Terang is a young, very toolsy, very fast player. Like similar to you. Is that what you're thinking about?
Yeah, and I Counts actually made the comparison at one point earlier in spring, and he told me that his goal for Bryce last year was to be able to go and make the next play. And that's kind of stuck in my mind throughout the year, just, in the ups and downs of how this kind of goes is, if I'm going to have a pretty crummy at bat and, it was clearly bad or obviously, not a good team at bat, I think going out in center field and being able to go lock in for three outs of defense and, not carrying stuff with me and from an outsider looking in, Bryce has done a great job of that, and he's turned into a really good player. But I think it was the right comp to make just because we come from similar backgrounds, and he is that kind of twitchy, toolsy infielder. I think it was kind of cool hearing it from that perspective, only because of the experience that Counts had with him.
We're talking to Pete Crow Armstrong for just another couple of minutes. Parkinson Spiegel on the score. You play with such an energy, man. Like, and this, you're a young dude in the game, but this is a team full of like in their prime vets that's trying to win right now. But there's a learning adjustment for a young guy. What's that dynamic like for you of like, hey, man, I got to learn how to play in the big leagues, but this team also needs to win. What's that challenge present?
Yeah. There's a lot of challenges, I think, but it's all very internal. I think getting external with it actually is the right way to go about it, because what has been made very clear to me is, and this comes from, anyone from Counts to Mark Leiter, and I talked about it yesterday, and or Nico before I left, like, anything I do offensively to them is a bonus. And I think that just kind of helps the mental grind of being in my position up here, which is, which is such a blessing in itself, where I get to go play winning baseball every day and on a team that is going to compete for, you know, the rest of this year, and really just hone in on the defensive side of things, because I do see now that anything I do offensively is a plus, where, you know, my job is to go play center field. And that was, you know, that was verbalized to me from the jump when I got up here for the very first time. So the learning curve is what it is. I'm going to choose to look at it like if I was, you know, just coming up here and hitting, like there'd still be that learning curve. You know, I don't think I would be a complete player right away. Everybody here has given me the time to kind of develop and go through that learning curve while knowing that I will still produce defensively. And again, whatever I do offensively is an added bonus. So it's a comfortable feeling going through the adaptation process, just knowing that people are, you know, supportive of that, and that's what they want from me.
Yeah, they need your energy, and they need your vibrant enthusiasm, Pete. Just like being you. All good teams need that. So it sounds like you've felt welcome to be yourself.
Absolutely, there's been that space created for sure. I appreciate that.
What's the most fun thing about being in the big leagues?
The most fun thing about being in the big leagues. I mean, the travel is so much. I mean, it's a lot more, but it's so much easier. No more long bus rides. Knock on wood. I think I'd have to say that the different stadiums I've been getting to play in, that's by far the most fun part.
Which one was the coolest? Which one?
Fenway. Fenway was the coolest for sure. And honestly, from just like a playing perspective, like a great surface in my opinion. It felt very comfortable in the box. You know, it's such an interesting setup. Like I feel like it could almost feel like Wrigley, where everybody's on top of you because of the monster and whatnot. But then you got that vast, like kind of incline of stands in right center to right field, and it's kind of a beautiful setting, and the sweet Caroline's pretty cool, and those fans are kind of ruthless, and you know, I was hearing the most random stuff coming from the bleachers about, you know, things in the past and whatever, and I kind of love that. You know, it's fun playing in an atmosphere like that. Like, that's why Wrigley's fun, is it it's jumping every day to night. So I'd say Boston. Camden was also pretty cool. San Fran was cool, but Fenway by far.
AP, man, we want to get to know you better on the show. Our audience loves hearing for you. Thank you for giving us a few minutes. We'll do it again, man. Good luck tonight.
You bet.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank you. That's Pete Crow Armstrong, Cubs center fielder. We're here at Wrigley Field. We will talk a little Bears training camp today and the realities of the battle that's happening internally with that organization every day. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
In afternoons from Chicago's northern suburbs, 6.1, Danny Parkins. From Emerson College and a huge Red Sox fan, the good vibes provider, 5'10", Matt Spiegel.
Foot and 1/2 inch.
Oh, really?
I mean, last time I checked.
Yeah? That's pretty good.
I'm not old enough to shrink.
No.
Thank you.
You can't be shrinking.
Thank you.
Well, I gotta say, kind of surprised me the story in the Sun-Times today about the 1901 development project over there around the United Center. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew that Reinsdorf was buying up the parking lots, but so much of the attention had been on his quest for public funding for a new White Sox stadium and then obviously the Bears stadium.
Yes.
It kind of came out of the proverbial left field in terms of a huge redevelopment plan. But you read that article, and it's...
no public money.
And $7 billion of investment in the west side of Chicago over 10 years with the prioritization of green space and housing.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, done, in. Awesome. Awesome.
It's an incredible endeavor.
A legacy.
Well,
like, you talk about a Reinsdorf Wirtz like legacy for the for the west side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
That's a legacy.
Well, what's interesting is that it's thoroughly connected to the United Center. When they got the United Center done and built it.
Oh, hey, I think we're getting Pete Crow Armstrong.
Okay, well, let's put a button in this. I've got a lot of thoughts on this because there's an interesting tie-in for it. But we've been hoping to talk to PCA, been hoping to talk to Pete Crow Armstrong every time we've been out here. We were supposed to be on the field, but the weather gods have said it's supposedly going to rain. So we are above you, Pete. We are up here waving at you from the press box. Hello.
I see you guys. Hello.
Hey, good to see you, man. Saw you the other day recording some stuff for the radiothon we have coming up. So
yes.
Very much appreciate you doing that. But, yeah, can you believe they didn't let us broadcast from the field today because of rain? Look at the sky.
I can believe it. I feel like it's kind of unpredictable. I think what I saw was that it was supposed to rain from, like, 5 to 7:30.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
So he was looking.
Yeah.
I think you guys did the right thing playing it safe.
Oh, that's no fun. And you know what? We're going to call BS on that because you don't seem to do anything safe. You don't seem to play anything safe in the outfield or otherwise, Pete. Is that fair?
That's fair.
How far could you range to get a fly ball? Could you go all the way to the right field line or the left field line if you needed to?
Shoot. With the proper hang time, yeah, absolutely.
That'd be a fun challenge for an all-star game skills competition. Line you up in center field and then just make you run around.
Yeah, maybe. That might be fun for everybody else, but I don't know if that'd be the best use of my all-star break.
No, probably not.
Has anybody in this organization ever asked you to catch the ball higher, or have they all gotten comfortable with the catch around the midsection?
No, there's been one time where counts kind of got on me about a certain height of where I did catch it, and I think it was more so about like the overall effort of the ball, and it was a really poor read on my part, and I didn't really show much urgency and ended up catching the ball below my waist. And I think, if we're talking to one of the pitchers, they probably are indifferent because I made the play, but I think it's more so about, you know, the professionalism of you know, how you look out there, too. But
like that scene in Major League, nice catch, Hayes, and I don't ever believe him do it again?
Yes. Yes.
Did pretty much. Say it quite like that?
No. Counts has a really good way of getting his point across. So he did it in his own Craig Counsell way.
What can you give us any insight? Like, what's it like being a young player being managed by very serious guy who's seen everything in the game?
Yeah, I mean, serious. I don't know if serious is quite the word for it. I think he's a thinker. I think he's calm. I think he's cerebral, and I think he's a thinker. Because he likes to kind of talk his smack and kind of shoot the, I don't know if I'm allowed to shoot the shit, but.
Sure. Yeah, probably not.
The answer is no, but thanks anyway.
All right, yeah.
We got
you. You're welcome.
Dump him.
Let me go. No, it's really cool because he, I saw him do it last year with Terang and some of the younger guys they had over there and, No, I love playing for Counts for a number of reasons, but he's a good teacher. He picks his right moments.
What did you see with Terang? That's interesting because Terang is a young, very toolsy, very fast player. Like similar to you. Is that what you're thinking about?
Yeah, and I Counts actually made the comparison at one point earlier in spring, and he told me that his goal for Bryce last year was to be able to go and make the next play. you know, and that's kind of stuck in my mind throughout the year, just, you know, in the ups and downs of how this kind of goes is, you know, if I'm going to have a pretty crummy at bat, and, you know, it was clearly bad, or obviously, you know, not a good team at bat, I think going out in center field and being able to go lock in for three outs of defense and, you know, not carrying stuff with me, and you know, from an outsider looking in, Bryce has done a great job of that, and he's you know, turned into a really good player. But I think it was the right comp to make, just because, you know, we come from similar backgrounds, and he is that kind of twitchy, toolsy infielder. You know, I think it was kind of cool hearing it from that perspective, only because of the experience that Counts had with him.
We're talking to Pete Crow Armstrong for just another couple of minutes. Parkins and Spiegel on the score. You play with such an energy, man. Like, and this, you're a young dude in the game, but this is a team full of, like, in their prime vets that's trying to win right now. But there's a learning adjustment for a young guy. What's that dynamic like for you of, like, hey, man, I got to learn how to play in the big leagues, but this team also needs to win? What's that challenge present?
Yeah. There's a lot of challenges, I think, but it's all very internal. You know, and I think getting external with it actually is the right way to go about it, because what has been made very clear to me is, and this comes from, you know, anyone from Counts to Mark Leiter, and I talked about it yesterday, and or Nico before I left, like, anything I do offensively to them is a bonus, you know, and I think that just kind of helps the mental grind of, you know, being in my position up here, which is such a blessing in itself, where I get to go play winning baseball every day and on a team that is going to compete for, you know, the rest of this year, and really just hone in on the defensive side of things, because I do see now that anything I do offensively is a plus, where you know, my job is to go play center field. And that was, you know, that was verbalized to me from the jump when I got up here for the very first time. So the learning curve is what it is. I'm going to choose to look at it like if I was, you know, just coming up here and hitting, like, there'd still be that learning curve. You know, I don't think I would be a complete player right away. Everybody here has given me the time to kind of develop and go through that learning curve while knowing that I will still produce defensively. And again, whatever I do offensively is an added bonus. So it's a comfortable feeling going through the adaptation process, just knowing that people are, you know, supportive of that. And that's what they want from me.
Yeah. They need your energy, and they need your vibrant enthusiasm, Pete, just like being you. All good teams need that. So it sounds like you've felt welcome to be yourself.
Absolutely. There's been that space created for sure. I appreciate that.
What's the most fun thing about being in the big leagues?
The most fun thing about being in the big leagues, I mean, the travel is so much. I mean, it's a lot more, but it's so much easier. No more long bus rides. Knock on wood. I think I'd have to say that the different stadiums I've been getting to play in, that's by far the most fun part.
Which one was the coolest? Which one?
Fenway. Fenway was the coolest for sure. And honestly, from just like a playing perspective, like a great surface in my opinion. It felt very comfortable in the box. You know, it's such an interesting setup. Like I feel like it could almost feel like Wrigley, where everybody's on top of you because of the monster and whatnot. But then you got that vast, like, kind of incline of stands in right center to right field, and it's kind of a beautiful setting, and the sweet Caroline's pretty cool, and those fans are kind of ruthless. And, you know, I was hearing the most random stuff coming from the bleachers about, you know, things in the past and whatever, and I kind of love that. You know, it's fun playing in an atmosphere like that. Like, that's why Wrigley's fun, is it's jumping every day to night. So I'd say Boston. Camden was also pretty cool. San Fran was cool, but Fenway by far.
Hey, Pete, man, we want to get to know you better on the show. Our audience loves hearing from you. Thank you for giving us a few minutes. We'll do it again, man. Good luck
tonight. You bet.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank you. That's Pete Crow Armstrong, Cubs center fielder. We're here at Wrigley Field. We will talk a little Bears training camp today and the realities of the battle that's happening internally with that organization every day. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.